I'm speaking today with Joe Montemayor, who is running for state representative in the 1 and 27th District. Joe, you ran in 2008, so you're running again this year. What made you decide to try it again this year?
Well, Charles, thank you, first of all, for doing the interview with me. But earlier this year, I was planning to run for Justice of the Peace in Baytown because Judge Palumbo was retiring. But then circumstances prevailed. I had a number of supporters from our last campaign in 2008 contact me because Joe Crabb decided to retire and it became an open seat. And the Republican candidates that were being paraded seemed to me that they lost interest in the actual issues regarding education, regarding the budget shortfall. And I decided to make a second run for this seat. It's too important just to let go.
Okay. What would you say you learned from your previous campaign?
Being that it was the first time that I ran, there was an awful lot to learn. But the one thing that I've learned is that in that district, in 127, there are a lot of people that care. There are a lot of people that are concerned about the issues at hand, which is education, which is the budget shortfall, which is the crime rate. And there's less of a worry about more concern about us losing jobs in Texas. And these are issues that for some reason or another the Republican candidates have not fully answered. They're giving the standard spin of the party platform regarding education that yes, it's a problem, but we'll find a solution. And they've been in power since 94, and we're still talking education here in 2010. So, you know, I wish I had an easy answer that we could find an easy fix for this problem, but we can't, not with the current leadership.
Okay. Your background is in immigration. You're a retired ICE agent. Immigration, to say the least, is pretty prominent in the news these days, nationally and in Texas. So, you know, I guess, as you know, a couple of current members of the House, one of whom is a member here in Harris County, has said that they had planned to introduce a bill next year that would be, you know, an immigration enforcement type law similar to what was passed in Arizona and then struck down, or at least partially struck down by the courts. So let me ask you, first of all, you know, is there any reason for Texas to have such a law?
Well, to be honest with you, we have a law. I mean, it's a federal law. The immigration issue is a federal issue. The system, I freely admit, is broken. We have several subtle problems with the law. You have to remember the law hasn't really been revised since 1952. It's always been patchwork legislation, and that's one of the issues and concerns that the late Ted Kennedy was trying to solve. Now, this Arizona law, first of all, they've already determined that when it was approved, or when it was passed by the Arizona legislature, in my opinion, it was a political move because there was no real substance in that they did not provide for funding. If they were serious about this law, there would have been funding also attached to the bill. There was none. To introduce a law like that into Texas, I think, would be a major mistake. Not because it would just tie up the system. We do not have the resources or the manpower. We have an $18 billion shortfall. I cannot justify or see justification for tying up a law enforcement officer for 3 to 4 hours to get verification from ICE if a person is documented or undocumented in the United States. And to go further, as an ICE agent with 25 years experience, I can tell you if a person is foreign born. I can tell you by the way he speaks, the way he walks, how his appearances, as far as the clothes he wears. I mean, one of the issues that was brought up in Arizona is the shoes he wears. Okay, that might all be well and good. A good police officer, a good law enforcement officer, can tell you that. But with 25 years experience, I cannot tell you just by looking at a person if he's undocumented in the United States. I couldn't do that until I asked for his documentation. I don't think any law enforcement officer could do that. And to take the position that Arizona did, that upon sight, if you read the law, it says the mere suspicion that, well, by that standard, an African-American on a cell phone sitting in his SUV would be considered a drug dealer. You know, and that's why it's questionable at best what the motives were when they passed this law. I believe it was solely political, and a law like that in Texas would be devastating.
I mean, is there anything the Texas legislature should be doing to address issues of immigration or border security, which are often presented as, you know, one and the same?
Last night I was asked that question at an immigration forum, and as a candidate of 127, I will tell you, yes, I have concerns about border security. But my concerns is the battle we have right now with the cartels. Kay Bailey Hutchinson, and I said this last night, and I'll repeat it again today, Kay Bailey Hutchinson, as a Republican, did work towards providing four times as many Border Patrol agents on the border. Now, a lot of the border violence that's happening right now is because of the efficient job the Border Patrol has done to stop a number of drug traffickers and human trafficking that has happened in the past. Now, the border wars are beginning to spill over into the United States, but it's a territorial fight for the open routes that are there that our agents haven't discovered yet. As a candidate for 127, I believe, yes, we need to provide resources. And again, boots on the ground are always welcome. But more than that, we need to invest in intelligence gathering. Depending on who you talk to in the border states, the border areas, the sheriffs, the local sheriffs, you'll have a contingency that it's begun to be a turf war. Whose jurisdiction is what? We have to stop that. We have to work intelligently, have more inter-agency cooperation to put heat on the cartel. My concern in 127 is that we have I-10 and I-59 that run through the district and Highway 90, which will soon be open, which are considered right now as major drug routes for the cartels. We need to find resources to be able to pump into our local law enforcement community to battle these cartel routes that are coming in. Right now, Harris County, Adrian Garcia is doing a wonderful job. But my district, it's unique in a sense that a third of it is in Houston. So you fall within the HPD jurisdiction, but the other two-thirds are in the county, which falls under the jurisdiction of the sheriff and Ken Jones and Constable 3. So when elected, I want to work to get the resources necessary to be able to fight the cartels, bringing these narcotics through my district. And I know it's a very complex issue, but immigration reform is solely, or immigration, the immigration issue is solely within the jurisdiction of the federal government. As far as a state representative, I will be concerned to provide border security and to protect the citizens of my district, to provide border security for the citizens of my district, to basically to steal a line from Bill White. You know, Bill White says he's in it for Texas. Well, I'm in it for House District 127.
Okay. You've referenced the budget a couple of times, and as we all know, there is a budget shortfall. $18 billion is the figure often cited, although there's some dispute about the actual magnitude of it. What approach should the legislature be taking to deal with this?
Oh, God, I wish I had if I had an answer for that, I'd probably be running for Congress. But I think first and foremost I have to agree with Bill White in that we have to, first of all, complete a complete audit of all departments, specifically the Texas Enterprise Fund. We know that there's a huge amount of money that's been spent without accountability. We have to look at the way our state has been spending money. I mean, one of the issues to me is not only the Texas Enterprise Fund, but this voter ID fraud issue that the Republicans have brought up. I mean, they spent initially $1.4 million to establish a fraud unit to determine voter fraud, alleged voter fraud.
That's within the Attorney General's office, right?
Correct. And to 2002, to the present time, they've had 9 cases. They've actually had 9 cases presented that they tried to get through the system. And I think the final count was they settled all 9 with 4 misdemeanors and a $50 fine, and that's on top of another $4 million that was spent on investigations of these 9 cases. If that is not waste, fraud, and abuse, I don't know what it is. First of all, we have to have the audit. We have to see where our money is being spent, but also we have to create new sources of revenue. Now, last year and this year, I've talked to people, and they've said, you have promoted expanding gaming in Texas, and I still support that. I think we need to look at that as another resource, a taxable resource.
Let me interrupt you here then and say, since I was going to get to that anyway, gaming proposals include allowing for casinos and allowing for slot machines, video lottery terminals at horse racetracks. And, there are different factions, and, you may get one or the other, but not both. Do you have a preference for what type of expanded gaming you would support?
Right now, I would like to look at both, to be honest with you. I don't have a preference at this time because you have pros and cons in both. But again, and let me get back to this, I know that expanding gaming is not going to be a quick fix. Okay, I anticipate we won't see any noticeable revenues from those avenues until probably 3 or 4 years down the road. But it's a beginning. I am hoping to meet with these gentlemen. I'm hoping to be appointed to the board that is exploring these avenues. I'm also in favor of Hector Uribe's plan as far as trying to expand renewable energy for this state. As you know, he's running for the Land Commission, and one of the programs that he's approached is to lease offshore property. Texas has over, I think he was telling me, close to 400 miles of coastline that can be used and leased out to energy companies that are investing in solar and wind power. And these revenues could be generated into our budget, our state budget. But what I like about this program is because of the Land Commission, I think it was 30%, he quoted me, would go straight into our educational programs, which, I'm extremely in favor of. I think we need to bring more businesses to Texas. I think we need to look at not giving a handout, but a hand up to a lot of the businesses that are struggling right now. I think the business franchise tax has to be revisited. I think it was a quick fix by the Republican leadership to try to supplement the shortfall in our school budgets, and it came back in a bit. I don't think it was a well thought out plan, and I think it needs to be revisited.
Well, let me interrupt you again, since you bring that up. That's another place I was going to go. The business margins tax was introduced to offset a 1/3 cut in the property tax rate. That was done in a special session in 2006 in response to a Supreme Court ruling that essentially said the property tax system as we had it was an unconstitutional state property tax. And so, 50 cents was cut off the maximum $1.50 top rate. The business margins tax was created to supplement that. It has fallen short. It was known to fall short from the beginning. What would you do to address that?
Well, again, you know, I think we need to look at it from the perspective that this tax was created for this specific reason, as you stated, but it's not working, so we need to come up with another solution. One of the things that I am very interested in researching is the property tax break that corporations, multi-million dollar corporations, were getting. There have been some deals that Valero just applied for one, and Governor Perry is trying to get it passed through the legislative session. But I believe that if these corporations paid their fair share, not saying increase taxes on them, okay, but stop giving these property tax breaks for these property-rich corporations. If they just pay their fair share until we get over this hump, until we can resolve these issues. Being a taxpayer, I don't like paying property taxes that I have. I think it is unjust in the way the appraisals are being done. Okay, and that needs to be looked at. Now, I know that appraisals are done on a local level, but as a state rep, I would be very interested to sit down with our local agencies to see if a solution can be found. We have to be honest. With an $18 billion budget shortfall, there's going to be some hard decisions to be made. Ready answers or political answers are not going to be a solution. We need to get serious. And in getting serious, that means finding people in the business area, such as Bill White, to find solutions to these issues. In a political arena, sometimes promises are made, and I've tried not to make promises. If I don't know something, I'm going to tell a person I don't know. But I'm intelligent enough and experienced enough to know that if we as a community can come together, we can find answers to tough problems. But the answers are not going to be easy this time around. The leadership has made some decisions that we are now paying for, and if we don't make the hard choices now, our children are going to pay the price.
Let's talk briefly about education. Texas Education Agency and its Texas projection measure have been in the news. Some over questions about whether they are overstating the growth that Texas students have had. I mean, the TPM was set up as a way not to measure whether or not people passed the tests or not, but whether or not they were, you know, moving towards that. It's a growth measure. This is something that was set up by the legislature. What is your assessment of the way that of the Texas Education Agency's Texas projection measure, and how do you want to see accountability and growth measured in the schools?
Easy
question. I know
it's an easy question, but I apologize for chuckling, but when I was reading about this, I said, my God, they come up with a GOP math. And I remember being in high school and they were introducing UMath. I had a difficult time understanding that concept. This one is even worse. I have no idea how they came up with these figures. Again, maybe I'm approaching it wrong, but I've always felt that if you let educators educate and let them teach reading, writing, problem solving, and reasoning, okay, instead of teaching to an exam that potentially could cost an educator their job, we would be able to measure the student in a much better form. The whole system has to be reevaluated. There is no way that I can see that a student can be evaluated in the future. You know, let's deal with the present right now. These formulas that they've come up to try to meet the criteria that is unrealistic. It's impossible. It's impossible for me to accept that concept. We have to deal in realities. What are our kids doing now? Are they prepared to go to the next level? Are they prepared to go into the job market, as our state constitution says? Are they prepared for higher education? When you have students that are graduating in the top 10% of their class, and case in point, my daughter-in-law, I love her to death, she graduated second in her class in San Antonio, was offered 4 scholarships, she decided to go to Iowa. Okay. The first semester, she had to take remedial courses. Okay. And this is a person that graduated second in their class from our state. Now, what kind of message does that send out? When the top students that we have to go to higher education, and they go out of state, and they have to take the first semester or 2 semesters in remedial courses because our education system has failed them. Okay. The measure they're using right now is unacceptable. Okay, I'd like to look at another approach, and I'd like that approach to be presented by professional educators, the people that we put the trust to teach our children. Right now, our school board, our state board of education, we have no professional educators on that state board of education. What kind of sense does that make? To me, it's unacceptable. When we have the people that are deciding what our children are going to be taught are not professional educators, what kind of message does that send out to our country? Okay? You know, it's said that, and I heard this from some people in my district, and it hurt me when they said this. They said, you know, we used to say, God bless Mississippi. Okay? Texans used to say that. Now, Mississippi is saying, God bless Texas. What does that say? There's a big problem with that.
Something you hear about a lot in the leading up to this election is that there's an enthusiasm gap. Republicans are more energized to vote than Democrats are. Are you seeing that on the trail, and how do you deal with it?
Actually, I don't. We participated in the 4th of July parade in Kingwood, which, you know, is a very, very tough district. And we've had problems in the past, but this year we've been very supportive. Being a veteran, I had a number of veterans come up and shake my hand and thank me for my service to my country. And in turn, I thank them. So I see maybe the attitudes are changing a little bit. Don't get me wrong, it's very, very a tough district still, but I think that there is more of a desire for more information. I think the hype, let's say, I think there was a frenzy due to the primary in the district because it was a bloody primary for the Republican Party. But recently, I think there's more and more concerns about, especially since the Chronicle reported the problems with the school district in Humble, that 4 of the schools made it on the worst schools in Texas list. And, you know, I have 8 school districts in 127, and it really is a concern to me that Humble, which is probably the better school districts of all of them in 127 financially, was found that they had 4 schools. They couldn't cut the mustard. So I think this is of concern to the people in Humble and Atascocita and Kingwood, that what's going on here. So I think because of that action and because we've been very active in the community trying to address issues of concern with facts, not with hype, that there is more of an acceptance. Now, whether that will result in votes, I don't know yet. But we did very well in 2008. I think we set a new record, and we hope to meet or surpass that record in this election. My position has always been that a state representative is an employee of the people. And when I approach people, I tell them, you need to speak your concerns as somebody that you're going to hire. And that's how I approach this campaign. I don't I try not to talk at an individual. I try to talk with an individual when I talk to them. And that's paying off, I think.
So to sum it up, why should people vote for you and not your opponent in November?
Again, my opponent, Dan Huberty, is a nice gentleman. I've met him a couple of times, but he's gone public and the media is saying that Rick Perry's done a wonderful job. And he's made a few mistakes, but overall he's been great for Texas. I disagree. We've got too many problems, and I'm willing to work to find solutions to those problems, not give you soundbite, not give you the standard party line. There have been times where I have disagreed with some of the party's positions, and I've been respected for it, and that's been okay. I feel that I have to answer to the people who vote for me. Dan Huberty, I don't think is ready to make that commitment. And we've had this type of leadership in Texas, and especially in 127, since 1994. And we're still struggling with education, we're still struggling with jobs. The reason I'm asking people to vote for me is that I'm willing to work to find a solution to our educational funding problem, get more jobs within our district, look at other opportunities to invest in people of Texas, and find ways to protect our folks. Okay? These are issues that are everyday concerns to the voters of House District 127. And I'm ready to work for that.
Joe Montemayor, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Charles.